This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right, I have a dancing partner. Welcome, Jonas Spring.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Nice. It's nice to have you here. You've never been on the show yet.
I've only done live like one time, so you'll have to bear with me here.
You're looking very smooth.
Oh,
very good.
Thank you.
So Jonas Spring is the owner, principal of Ecoman Landscaping, which is more than just a landscaper. You guys do maintenance, consulting, design. You're very Toronto-based, very urban. Quick question, why Ecoman? Why not Eco-person?
You know, that name is so old that it predates like people caring about that stuff. And I remember when I was in school, they used to say, pick something memorable. Mm. And I'd go to the stone yard, and the guys would be like, Ecoman! You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so they
yeah.
never forgot. So really, it's a name that hasn't left.
Yeah.
It's probably past its prime, for sure. In fact, we have 60% women
on staff.
The crew. Yeah, we have over 50% women on the staff.
I'm not surprised. Women are the best detail people in the world.
I mean, if you're overlooking women, you are killing your business.
No kidding. Yeah. When it comes down, right down to the details. I mean, even my partner and I, it's like, I explained to him, you know, you're the brawn and I'm the brains. And he goes, what? And I go, honey, think about it.
I mean, Renee, who works with me, she does welding, carpentry.
Yeah.
She hauls more than the guy. Like, she can go 18 hours a day if she wants
right.
to. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, back when I was in my 20s, I could do that, too.
But I think she's got something to prove, you know? Like, there's a certain bro culture that's...
Very competitive.
Yeah.
And to prove, exactly, I can do this, too. Like, don't underestimate me.
And Gabrielle is 10 years at least older than me, and she's still keeping up with everyone, so...
Yeah. That's great. Well, we'll talk more about your company and what you do. In the meantime, I'm going to ask you, would you share the phone numbers with our listeners if they'd like to call in?
Yeah.
Obviously, we want them to call in with questions and tips, but specifically if they have something for you, and we'll talk a bit more about what you bring to the table.
Yeah, looking forward to it. You can call us at 416-360-0740 or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Sweet. Thank you. And I want to remind everybody, I am speaking as part of a package at the Aaron Theater in Campbellford. So Campbellford is up north of Warkworth, very pretty part of hills, up in the hills of, I'm going to say Nottingham. It's not Nottingham, whatever the hills are, up north of where I live. The Aaron Theater is in the town of Campbellford. It's part of something called Artworth. So Artworth started as a children's camp, but they're trying an Artworth for adults. It's a discovery, nature discovery all the way for both adults and children. So this Wednesday, September 25th, 7 p.m., Soil is Sexy. Check it out. Aaron Theater. I know, why not? You know why I do that?
No, it's good. You got to have a hook.
Exactly, because over all the years, I've done so much different lecturing on soil, but nobody ever shows up because they're thinking, oh, boring, soil, wah, wah, wah. Whereas if I do, you know, funky containers, hundreds of people will line up. So I thought, you know what, I gotta make it sound better. And it is. I make it really very fun.
And it's an onion. There's so many layers to it. I mean, we're just beginning to understand soil.
Exactly. We don't have a clue about so much of it. And it's so important. You'll never grow anything great without great soil. So even though it sounds kind of boring to start, it's really super interesting.
Yeah, one of my favorite guys on Twitter, his handle is Build Soil, and he's all about storing carbon in soil. So
True. Absolutely. And so many examples of how to do that. So listen, we will... that's good. I like that you mentioned that because, soil. Boring, but fun and sexy.
And good for you.
You know, I know. I get people right into it, eh? Because I taught this at Durham College, too.
Yeah.
Soil science for college students. And it was, you know, touching, feeling, smelling, just getting right into it. And some of them totally did. They made, you know, mud pies and all kinds of stuff. So anyway, we'll have to just... take a slight little break here. Be right back right after this.
All right.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
I am joined in studio with Jonas Spring. Now, Jonas is the principal of Ecomon Landscaping, but we met at Canada Blooms.
And it's true. Yeah, we did.
You were working with Victoria Taylor. She was the designer. You were the installer of a couple of phenomenal gardens when I was the horticultural director at Canada Blooms.
Yeah. Now she's VTLA in Prince Edward County, where you live.
I know.
Yeah.
She's my neighbor.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Then, I think the last time I saw you was at a super cool installation, and it was at the Gladstone Hotel here in Toronto.
That's right. They had this art show called the Grow Off. Grow Off was a great, great thing to do.
It was
so much fun.
So fun. Like, you had installed a garden on top of a TTC shelter right outside the hotel.
Yeah, we took sounds of the city and recorded them, made them into music. And I said, give me the most boring spot you've got in this whole place, and we're going to turn it into a thing. And we made this whole piece of music. We had artists come in and play to it. It was really fun.
It was really fun. And I took my daughter to that event. She was like, we both had a lot of fun because it was really interesting, different groups, people like yourself.
Yeah, it just expands your mind about like all the intersections of art and horticulture.
Yeah, and kids. There was a kid there, and I can't remember whether he had butterflies or snails. He had something on the stairs. He had a whole display. He was like 11 years old. Anyway, it was super cool. Okay, we will get back more to some of the fun and funky things you do in your daily working life. But for now, let's see what Doris has to say. She's calling us from Stony Creek. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Charlie. I love your show. I've been listening to you for many, many years. So
thank you.
And I always learn something every Saturday.
Oh, and you're a first-time caller.
Yes, I am.
Can you hear that? There's your garden wings and joy. And welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. And you sound like you have a very talented guest there today, too.
I do. He's very special.
Oh, my gosh. That is amazing. So I'm going to enjoy this show also. Listen, Charlie, I have a very quick question for you. I have a hibiscus plant outside in a large pot, and it's approximately 3 years old, and it has been doing really, really great. I put it in the ground, not so good, but in the pot, wonderfully. So I've been getting blooms all season, and now all of a sudden, a week ago, I go look at it, and it's got all of the buds. They're all tiny, tiny, these little black ants. They drive me crazy. But they are just, I don't know, I Googled it very quickly, okay? So I tried hosing them off, and they are not going away. Now, this plant, I bring inside over the winter.
Are you convinced they're ants, or could they be could they be aphids?
They look like tiny little ants. I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
It's possible, though they should hose off. If you did a pretty sharp stream off a hose, ants should just blow right off. Aphids, on the other hand, their mouth parts are like a little straw. So they take their little straw-like mouth and they insert that into the plant, usually the tips, the newest, sweetest growth, and then proceed to absorb nectar through their straw-like mouth.
Okay.
And they're hard to dislodge. So what I would do is get out a magnifying glass or look a little closer. You should be able to tell the difference between an ant and an aphid. Yep. Aphids get really turned into little balloons. So when they're all puffed up with nectar, their feet don't even touch the ground. Their little feet are waving in the air and their little round bodies. Safer soap. Any simple soap solution will work as water will, but water won't work as effectively. And you want to bring that plant in the next few, like the next probably week or so. So I would get it. Is it still in the ground now or is it in the pot?
No, it's in a pot. It's done better in a pot than it did in the ground.
Okay, so it's in a pot. Make sure it's not anywhere near the garden. It's up on a deck or up on a, away from the ground, the earth. And start with just plain water, water it all down, even wash water through the soil. I assume it's in a pot with drainage.
Exactly.
So take the plate from below the saucer, let the water drain through. And then when it's a day like today, so it's overcast, but no rain for preferably about 4 to 6 hours, get some soap spray, not detergent spray, but soap spray, and thoroughly spray the plant, underside, overside, into the buds, the tips, the new growth. Okay. Those little insects should shrivel up and fall off.
Okay, so soap spray. What do you mean by that? So
you,
I can't take, you know, like Dawn and put it in a bottle with water and spray it.
I know. Everybody loves Dawn. Dawn is detergent. The problem with Dawn is that you will give them a nice bath. They will be very clean when you're finished.
Okay.
Shiny insects on a shiny plant, but they will not be dead.
Okay.
So the difference is that detergent has an emulsifier in it so that it doesn't stick to their bodies. It washes off. Sticks on their bodies. And because insects breathe through their bodies, they don't have lungs, you end up suffocating them because the soap plugs up the little holes in their bodies. So they can't breathe. So you can buy, like Dove, I think, makes soap. Or you can, and that's a 40-to-1 mix if you can find a liquid soap or buy it pre-made for you at your garden center, your Canadian Tire, whatever. It Safers is the people who made it originally, but you'll find it under other names. So just, it'll say right on it, soap solution.
Yeah, okay, very good. Okay, Safers, I know that brand. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I'm glad I got through today.
Thank you very much for calling.
Have a wonderful day to
thank
both
you.
Of you.
Okay? Thank you. Very and you much. Too. Right. Don't be a stranger.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much.
Coffee's always on. Bye-bye. There was something I wanted to ask you. Oh, I know. You, part of your job, Jonas, or part of what you've done in your work with Ecomine, is you've created something called the Toronto Plant Market.
Yeah.
And that is a very interesting, it's actually like a retail garden center.
Yeah. And we specialize in native plants. That's our big thing that we've been doing.
Native perennials,
shrubs, trees, mostly small, like 1 gallon, even down to plugs, which I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. But we never thought in a million years people would buy plugs. But native plant aficionados, they know they're going to get a full-size plant. So they come and buy the plugs. They love it.
And also the philosophy of your company is to have as little impact on the earth as possible. So always sustainability, always thinking in terms of stewarding the future of our world, working with nature as opposed to fighting it.
Yeah, and that's, in fact, I got interested in native plants exactly for that reason, because we look at a garden or a site and we try to figure out what ecosystem does it resemble. Mm-hmm. And then we started using a lot of native plants. So, you know, everybody's heard of a woodland garden. Well, it kind of resembles a woodland understory ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. A lot in Toronto is like that, with the big old trees.
And so then I started getting into this other one called hardscape plants, where you look at, say, a green roof or a driveway, and you always see these plants growing in the crevices and cracks. And what is that ecosystem? And we have an alvar ecosystem in southern Ontario. Yeah. We have all these wildflowers that grow in crevices and cracks in limestone and granite. Gravel. So I started researching that, and I was like, okay, you know, there's all these native plants that grow in crevices and cracks. And we did a whole literature review of all these ecosystems and all the plants in there. And I sent off the list to all the commercial growers. I said, which of these plants do you have? And so we started buying those plants. And that's how I got so really into it. For if you wanted to do something, you know, really big, like cool the city by 1 degree, you're going to need a hell of a lot of plants,
That's
how I got into it, yeah.
Yes, so you're able to supply for your clients, but also sell to the public.
Exactly. When we got the yard, we said, what are we going to do with a 2,000 square foot greenhouse? You know, we buy plants and put them in the ground for you. So we're a service business, really.
So I thought, growers.
Yeah, we'll try this out, making native plants available to retail customers. And at the same time, people are really interested in native plants, but a lot of people have a hard time getting them. So we thought, well, let's make it a little easier.
Cool. Yeah. Sweet. All right, back right after this.
Yeah, let's do it.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right. Tell you what, Jonas, you and I have a lot to chat about, but let me quickly ask you, would you do the numbers one more time and then we'll chat with Doug?
Yeah, give us a call, 416-360-0740, or you can call toll-free 1-866-740-4740.
Excellent. Thank you. Let's see what's going on in Richmond Hill. Doug's on the line. Good morning.
I have a quick question. I was raking my lawn the other day, and I noticed that the skunks have been digging up grubs.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, is it too late in the season to apply grub control?
Well, Jonas, what do you think?
No, you're good to go. Yeah. Fall's a good time to do it.
It's excellent. They're small still. The grubs are tiny. They're quite killable.
Okay.
There's two methods. One is grub be gone. So grub be gone or something like that, grub gone, is a bacteria. So it'll say right on it, BTG, I think, is the actual active ingredient. Follow all the instructions. Or nematodes. Same thing. It'll be under Lawn Guardian or some other name. Active ingredient, nematodes, follow all the instructions. It works if you follow the instructions.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Sweet.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling. While we let Doug sit back and think about his next step on how to keep his lawn in good repair, suggestions, Jonas, for lawn alternatives.
Yeah, at the Toronto Plant Market, we wanted to like showcase other low-growing plants that you could potentially use as a lawn alternative. So we set up a display of different native plants. We have wild strawberry growing mm-hmm. as a ground cover, a beautiful red color in the fall.
Mm-hmm. And fruit.
And fruit, of course. We have Carex aburnia, which most people think of Carex as a wetland plant, but there's actually an alvar Carex, which takes full sun, and it's really super fine foliage, just like a grass, and we use that one a lot. We have pussy toes, Antenaria, fantastic. In fact, if you go to the to your friend's cottage and you look
spring.
At their lawn, you probably have pussy toes growing right in the lawn and wild strawberry also.
And yarrow too.
Yarrow too. Yeah, yeah. And then we have a couple other grasses, Juncus tenuis, we have Danthonia. And these are grasses that are native grasses. They do provide a habitat. And the best part is they're really low growing. You don't even have to mow them.
Right.
The only thing that I would recommend is an annual or biennial mowing so that you're not getting the trees and stuff coming in.
Right.
And we currently sell them as a plug, which is the cheapest way to be able to do it, right?
Yeah, so how big's a plug? Like a half-inch size root ball, right?
So you're looking at like a tray of 50 or 72, and each one is maybe an inch and a half, 2 inch deep, but there's no pot with it, and it's just a very small amount of soil, and you just pull them out of the ground and stuff them in with a little dibber stick, and it's kind of like hair transplant.
Yeah. And it's great because, I mean, I've certainly worked in some of the more urban gardens with the big old established trees, and wherever you're planting is in between the roots of existing plants. So the homeowner might dream about, oh, I want a big hydrangea. It's like, okay, but we're going to start with a little hydrangea and we're going to be able to plant that.
That's exactly how I got into plugs in the first place, because we were doing like, you know, green roof installations or a green wall, and you really have to jam a tiny plant in there. Mm-hmm. And plugs is really an easy way to go. It's a cheaper plant, less inputs. And there's lots of research out there that shows that smaller plants establish more quickly and get bigger faster.
Yes.
So.
And I, as a now owner, 5-year owner of a brand new house in a brand new 2-acre lot, can attest to that. And I'd certainly read that beforehand, too. I mean, I was being a little impatient. I wanted my trees to be installed at, you know, as shade trees. So I was getting the biggest trees I could. But at the end of the day, any of the smaller trees I've put in, you know, in pots, have surpassed the wire basket size trees now, 5 years later.
Yeah, and we plant those larger trees also. I mean, if you don't have time to wait, you know, and
well,
you want it right away, then
you go, I'm too old to wait 40 years. I need it to be a real tree.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So for lawn alternatives, you know, we definitely do recommend try it with the grass. If you don't want to take away all the grass, you can mix it in, or you can start from scratch. And there's lots of different fun ways to try to do that. People do try it on the boulevards, you know, on the hell strips.
So here's just what I would ask if I was listening right now. Don't grubs eat the roots of some of the plants you've mentioned?
That's a good question. We haven't had that come up. I'm not sure how much they like those ones. I'm sure they would.
Yeah, they'll eat the grubs of anything, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You'll find grubs in your gardens and your lawns.
Yeah, for sure.
But
however, you don't tend to see grubs as a problem in the perennial garden, so that is a big difference from the lawn, right?
Right, but think, what is a lawn? See, a lawn is an incredibly condensed bunch of plants growing very close together under highly stressful conditions. And guess what? Plants in stress attract problems like insect problems, like Japanese beetle eggs, which turn into grubs 6 weeks later, which is what we're seeing now. And my neighborhood, some very serious raccoon damage started last year, and it started in February because it was such a mild winter.
Yeah.
The ground wasn't frozen, so the raccoons could dig up every night and every morning.
Oh, yeah, we've seen them coming. They roll the rolls right back up, yeah. And you got to start all over again the next day. Very frustrating.
Yeah, so sod, resod, resod, resod.
And then pin again. Yeah,
put bricks, but that's not a good idea.
Yeah,
all good ideas. Okay, thank you for that. Let's see what is going on in Newmarket. We have Jean on the line. Good morning. Hold on. That's a very bad connection. Try that again. Yeah. Excuse me, Jean. Guess what? You call back. You know the numbers here, Jonas. We'll just give him one more time.
If you want to call in again, it's 416-360-0740 or toll-free 1-866-740-4740.
There you go. So that is... Call again, because we're happy to talk to you, but that something's going on with that little connection there. I was going to ask you, you mentioned you do a fair number of events, Jonas, out at the Toronto Plant Market, which is at what number, Bering?
We're at 327 Bering Avenue, which is actually the original site of Islington Nurseries back in the day.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And that's why it came with greenhouse. Is from like the 1980s when we refurbished it. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So it's aluminum, right? Or is it?
It's a glass house.
Oh, it's
we
really
replaced
warm.
The roof on it with the five wall carbonate, and then new back doors, new fans, new electrical. Yeah,
big bucks.
A lot of work. Yeah,
and you do events. You sponsor
we do
events.
Yeah, we on October 10th we're doing What's Up with Flooding. If you live in Toronto or around Toronto, you know what that story is on that. And you know, the last month or so I've been doing nothing but water management. I feel like less of a landscaper and more like a like a an outdoor plumber, honestly.
Seriously?
Yeah,
tell me
swales,
more.
Rain gardens, French drains. We're a lot of customers unknowingly contribute to their own problems. They have built additions, they're doing laneway houses, they're doing digging out the basement.
Yeah.
Now they have sump pumps. So every time you do that, you're adding more impermeable surface to the property. And usually the houses in Toronto, not everyone, but a lot of times the house is a very large percentage of the property. So as the garden gets smaller, there's more water being dumped in the garden. You're not allowed to dump the garden on your neighbors, the water on your neighbors. You're not allowed to dump the water onto the street.
Yeah.
They have a downspout disconnect program, which is also contributing to more water in the garden. So a lot of times you have very little area to handle a huge amount of water. So we do the water manager evaluation, everything like that. So for this event,
that's good though.
But for this event, we're bringing in a speaker to talk about the kinds of ways that we deal with water. There's the above ground ways, could be swale, could be rain garden, or the below ground stuff where you're doing like French drain, stuff like that.
Right. Wow, all on urban lots.
That's right.
That's
and it comes with dinner. So,
the event.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what, when you go, people feed you?
We don't cook for you, but we'll fix your problem. And I tell people, you know, usually when you do a kitchen or a garden, you remember them fondly for a long time. You always mention them to your friends. I said, if you forget about us and never think about us again, that means we did our job right with the water management, because you don't want us to come back. You want it to be fixed once and done.
So, and that's a really good point, because we know that the water management has been, this summer, has been record-breaking.
It's been
certainly
absolutely wild.
In Toronto.
I had a customer who had water all the way up their basement window. It was coming in. I'm racing over there with a pump with a 2-inch pipe on it, hose on it. And I get, just before that, there was a huge flooded area, and the garbage truck was there, and there was a guy floating his green bin in the water to try to get it
to the truck.
In a bathing suit. Like, literally,
the
water was hip high. This is Etobicoke. But, we have a lot of water problems in this city, and they're not going to get any better.
We need
to, and so unfortunate. It is an opportunity, right? So we do a lot of that kind of stuff, and I do have people who are experts in it, and we work on that kind of problems all the time. But people need to be more aware of when you're doing plastic grass, when you're doing a new patio or outdoor kitchen, when you put in a laneway house or a garden suite, or you dig out your basement, you are adding more water to the system. And how are you going to deal with that? You have to plan for it. And maybe the architects are overlooking it. I don't want to say.
Yeah, but I don't blame you for saying that.
Like, we're here. We're here to help. You know, this is the kind of work we do. But at the same time, like, there needs to be more collaboration between all the different trades. Because you can't just put a pipe out. You know, often I'll see a downspout and it's just dumping out on the sidewalk or onto the walkway.
On driveways.
And then it's a slip and fall.
Exactly.
So, you know, any way you look at it, we need to be more mindful of water
and where the water goes.
And it's fine. If you're going to have an inch of water over a weekend, that's okay because it has time, right? But if you do a whole thing in 45 minutes, which that's Toronto, right?
Yes.
It's either no rain or it's like you know, biblical rain, right?
Yeah, so, Wow. So that, that's good. And I know there was, there's kind of, I guess they're kind of called rain gardens. So it's the idea of, dry riverbeds. And well, you said there's a lot of different techniques.
Yeah.
I know I've done some installations here in Toronto with permeable pavers.
Yeah.
Which is just looks like a regular paving stone.
Yeah.
But is designed like a honeycomb underneath and has lots and lots of gravel, much deeper gravel base so that there's a percolation factor going on, not
a
runoff.
We do a lot of that for driveways as well. And they have like, there's two kinds. There's the ones with the holes in the middle, like castellated.
Right.
So you have the hole in the middle. And then you have the ones with the lugs on the outside. That's permeable because they don't go into the paver, they go around.
Right.
And both of them work very well, depending on the application. And you can even seed them and do some cool plants in them also.
Right. Yeah, because you do have to leave spaces between.
Yeah.
And then there's like, oh, but there's weeds coming up, but those aren't necessarily weeds.
And maybe they're providing a little bit of habitat. Maybe they're making it a bit cooler. You know, you're getting some benefit out of it.
They're trapping carbon.
It's
we know that
much. It's all how you look at it. It's all how you look at it. Right?
I know. Yeah. No, I agree with you. And I think that is one of your mantras within your corporation, your company, is how you look at what is, like, what do we bring to nature and what does nature bring to us and how do we work together?
Yeah.
So the Toronto Conservation Authority, I think, has a pretty good web links on water management for homeowners.
They do, yep.
But it does assume you have a property of a certain size. That's the thing.
Yeah, and that is the biggest challenge, specifically downtown, is when the house is so big in comparison to the lot.
Right.
You know, if you're on Grace Street, Shaw Street, you know, Euclid, like these streets are, they're small lots and relatively speaking, large houses in comparison. So that's when you have, you know, hundreds of square feet of roof to deal with and all that water, and you're not allowed to put it in. You used to have all these pipes, all these downspouts would go into
out
the sewer.
Out to the sewer, the storm sewer.
And the reason why the city doesn't want that is because we have combined sewers, which means when we have a big deluge, you get raw sewage going into the lake. And
or
that's really,
it backs up into your basement.
That's another thing. But the biggest issue right now in terms of water quality in Lake Ontario is all of the impermeable surfaces in the city of Toronto.
Right.
And that's why they made everybody disconnect.
Right.
And they basically download the cost of dealing with that water to the homeowner.
Back
so
to
that's,
you.
That's what's happened.
Exactly. Flooding and more flooding. All right. Yeah. We will take a...
So that's October 10th.
October 10th, and that's at...
The Toronto Plant Market,
which is...
327 Bering Avenue.
B-E-R-I-N-G, Bering Avenue, in Etobicoke.
In Etobicoke,
In Etobicoke. Oh, I'm going to put that on my calendar. We're going to just take a quick early break right now and come back. We've got Dawn waiting on the line to chat with us.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Ah, speaking of floral, Jonas, I can see that our next caller, Dawn, is not a flower grower himself, but he's calling on behalf of his wife, who is apparently trying to grow morning glories. Good morning, Dawn.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Excellent, how are you?
Great. Listen to your show every week, or try to, and we love it, enjoy it.
Thank you.
My wife has got a pot that's 1.5 feet cube. We planted several plants in it. We've had it for years. And she planted morning glories in this. And the bottom leaves, like for the first 3 feet, 4 feet up, are dying. Like it's dead. But above that, there's blooms.
Okay.
Like 6, 7, or 8 blooms.
Okay. So,
And I'm wondering why.
I would suggest why
is it dying below that and there are blooms above it?
Yeah. So, Dawn, you know what I would say? It's September 21st. The plant knows it's September 21st and it's getting ready to shut down. So what you're seeing is new growth on the tip, which is perfectly normal and natural. Flowers, green leaves, all that's perfectly good because we've had warmth, we've had sun, that encourages growth. Meanwhile, in the inside physiology of the plant is shutting down. So the older, more mature growth, leaves at the bottom, are shutting down and turning brown as a result. So don't panic. It's going to be the F word soon will show up. And when it does, then that plant will bite the dust anyway. And
and if they're bothering you, just you can pick off the lower leaves just like you do with tomatoes.
Yeah, exactly. Just clean them up. Good garden hygiene. It makes all the difference in terms of preventative maintenance for preventing particularly fungal problems in the future. So just keep them clean.
In August.
Yeah, but even so, August, as soon as the days start to get shorter, nights start to get longer, regardless of temperature, plants respond. Even your indoor plants respond to shorter days. And people will have a fig tree inside, you know, a Ficus benjamina inside their living room, and all of a sudden it starts to drop leaves. It's like, yeah, it's fall inside too, right? It happens. So don't worry. Obviously, as long as you're careful, you've got it in full sun, you've been providing some kind of fertilizer, watering as necessary, I wouldn't worry at all. Okay?
Okay.
Good stuff. Thank you. Appreciate your call. One of my neighbors was panicking about her. So she has an oak tree she planted recently, and she's bringing me over some leaves that looked a little shaky. And I said to her, what are you worried about? These leaves are toast anyway. Like, next year's a whole new year.
I mean, that's been our mantra this fall. Yeah. It's like, fall's the new spring.
Yeah.
Put them to their new home mm-hmm. in the fall when they're going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wake up in their new home and they get all that fall to establish roots. Even if
yes.
they look kind of crappy,
yeah.
even if the leaves are falling off,
who cares?
Put them in the ground in the fall. It's a great time to plant. We
it's
love it.
It's a perfect time to do any kind of garden rejuvenation. New plants, dividing.
Divisions, yeah.
Obviously, lawns, this is the time. The soil is warm, the temperatures are optimal, the moisture levels are great, and it starts with good soil, though, so don't do anything fancy without fixing your soil first, as we say. All right, we've got Elizabeth on the line. She's calling in from Scarborough. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Oh, good morning. Question about amaryllis. Mm. I have three that are still outside. Is it time to bring them in and put them to sleep?
Well, what do you think, Jonas? Would you bring them in yet?
About now or soon, in the next couple of weeks, I'd say.
Yeah, mine are still outside. So there are kind of two schools of thought. One is bring them in because it's convenient for you, right? You know, put them into their dark location, stop watering, let them, you know, force them into dormancy. I like to leave them until we get a couple of cool nights, though. I find that if we get not necessarily below zero, but even if down to about 5 degrees at night, that cold will absolutely shut the plants down. They just go right to, well, sleep, if for lack of a better term, they go dormant. So from that morning after that 5 degree night, I'll then stick them down into the dark basement and again stop watering so that they are truly stay dormant. Mark it on my calendar. And I find actually marking on the calendar doesn't really work. You have to check your amaryllis after about 8-10 weeks. You just have to go look at them. One day they just start to grow in the dark. They'll just start growing, and they'll start growing a white little flower.
They just get triggered.
Yeah, in the dark.
That's when you bring them up and put them in
sunshine.
Sunlight?
Yep, and start watering.
Okay.
But not until
then.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Right.
I love it. Okay. Here we have Mary on the line. She's calling from Toronto, maybe your neighbor, Jonas. Good morning, Mary.
Oh, good morning. I hope you don't break up. Because I've been walking all over, like the previous, the same thing, but I can hear you now perfectly.
You sound fine.
Okay, the man is right. We've been fighting against laneway housing and double big ones. The city council is crazy. They built a few, and there's not even 3 inches of green space in between them.
Wow.
And they're taking them all up everywhere. The city is just allowing it. It's no wonder we're being flooded. Anyways, the man is absolutely right, and every chance I get, I tell them, stop all this overbuilding.
Okay.
We need the, you know,
green
they call it soft landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, both my Christmas cactus, mm-hmm. which I needed to repot last year and was going to do it this year, both of them, they're in the small 4-inch pots. Mm-hmm. They both have lots of buds, you know, starting.
Sweet.
Some are a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can repot it in a bigger pot and new soil.
All right. Well, how you'll make that decision is pick up those 4-inch pots, look at the drainage holes in the bottom, and see if you see roots.
There aren't any, but
okay, then
they're falling over because they're so tight in it,
yeah.
And they've got all these buds.
Yeah, so that's a challenge. Okay, so you have two options. One is just repot them. Only up to a 6-inch pot, though. Don't be going into a 10-inch or something huge. You're in a 4, go to a 6. Fresh, clean, preferably cactus soil is what you'll use for your repotting. And water thoroughly, obviously, once you do that. Repotting, and then don't water again until it's bone dry, and which could be 2 months from now. Or take those little 4-inch pots and stick them into like a ceramic cash pot or an overpot, which will be heavy enough to keep them from tipping over.
That's a great idea.
And then you can just allow them to flower all winter, and they're probably pretty happy. They like to be in a small pot like that, but you're right, the falling over is a problem. So get them into something that will keep them centered down, and then in the spring, do your repotting then.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. And again, thank you to that man. Kudos. Keep up the good work, and so will I. We need to stop this overbuilding.
All right. Thanks again for your call, Mary. That's great. Wow. How do you feel, Jonas?
I mean, it feels good. A little validation. But, you know, we do need housing.
I was going to say.
I'm not against having housing.
Cost benefit.
And how do you balance that? Mm-hmm. But a lot of these things are combining to creating more water problems. And what I'm saying is, yes to housing, but let's plan for the water. Let's plan to have more plants. Let's put plants on walls if we have to.
Yeah,
let's put
roofs.
Plants on roofs if we have to.
Yeah.
But I find that the gardens are getting smaller.
Yeah.
And that's just a fact.
And that's not a good fact.
No,
because there's no soil absorption. It's strictly out onto the street or into your basement.
All kinds of opportunities. I mean, look at all the condos in Toronto that have been built, and every single balcony is just completely empty.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, you know, I've read that people don't use balconies. They think they want a balcony. And then they
buy
their condo. But
would they use them more if there was some shade on the balcony, if there was some bees and birds coming to the balcony?
Oh, there's some super innovative.
I feel like that's a missed opportunity for all the developers out there, for all the people who live in condos out there.
I know there's one on the books. There's one on the books, a developer.
Yeah.
Is that happening? I can't even remember.
Yeah.
It's in the West End somewhere.
Yeah. And the thing is like, the renderings always look amazing and lush, right? But the question is, what specific species are going to do well, right?
That was what they were challenged by.
Yeah.
And your north side of your condo versus the south side is
right?
But I know in Milan and a couple of European cities, they have built high-rise condos that are designed to have plants growing all around the outside of these buildings.
And I think it's
and
a
the
great
gray
place
water,
for plants in principle because there's no competition for the space,
right?
Yeah. It's not like you're competing with cars and strollers and all that. You can plant it and forget it. It's not going to be run over by a truck or, you know, a garbage truck or something.
Yeah.
So walls are a great place for plants, and they're very close to the people who can enjoy them. Then you get the health benefits, you get the cooling, you get
the
shade.
At your windows, at
your
So
I think it's a great place to do it. I think we're still working out how it can be done and what specific species we would be using for Toronto.
That's right. Because the testing that I know that's been done tends to be in the European countries.
Yeah.
And of course, here we're not as tuned into what might work. But it does start way back at the architectural beginnings. Because, like I was going to say, the gray water, the water that comes out of your sinks, your bathtubs, your showers, that goes into a holding tank, which is automatically used to irrigate all these plants on the outside. Not toilet water, obviously, but all other water is reused.
And we've been really thinking a lot about what those plants would be.
Yes.
We call them the hardscape plants. Basically, buildings are cliffs, so we look at all the cliff plants.
I want to talk about a bit more about cliffs, but I think we have to do one more break, don't we, Ashi? Yeah, we do. So we'll just go quickly. I love that idea of buildings are cliffs. Or
buildings are cliffs.
Yeah, gardening on cliffs in the city.
I did a Canada Blooms thing on that.
I know you did. We'll be right back.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right. So, Jonas, you having fun?
This has been great. Like, I should do, I should come back every year.
Yeah, he's like, I think I should be your sidekick.
Yeah.
Jonas is like,
are you hiring?
It's only 9:20, right? I'm going, are you kidding? The show's almost over.
Like, I honestly couldn't believe it. I was like, what do you mean it's 9:54? What is going on here? We just started. We're getting warmed up here.
Exactly. This is it. You start having a nice chat, and before you know it, it's what? Where'd the hour go? Listen, it looks like we have a quick call that we will take from Carol. She's calling from Mississauga. Speaking of Ficus Benjamin.
You even called that, didn't you?
Yeah, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I have a question about the Ficus Benjamina. Mm. I have two very large, I guess they're called trees.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if I want to bring them indoors, and I'm wondering what I need to do for that. And they've been indoors before. They're very old. And if I can prune them, because they become very, like, wide during the summertime.
Yeah.
So they look great.
Have you got them, like, on wheels or something? Are you able to wheel them around?
No, not really.
So you have to pick them up and carry them around. How big are the pots?
They're probably about, I don't know, maybe 10 inches wide, 8 inches. I'm not sure.
Oh, amazing. How tall are they, roughly?
Probably about 5 foot.
Oh.
Okay. A little over 5 feet, maybe.
Right. Sounds good. Easy to prune. This isn't the optimal time for pruning. The optimal time would be to prune in the spring, and you would prune harder in the spring for the plant to grow back throughout the summer, and it would be the perfect size now to bring in. But you didn't do that last spring, so in order to bring them in now, you'll want to do some pruning to get them through the door and have them livable in your living room or wherever they're going for the winter. They will drip. Ficus have a latex white drippiness, so do your pruning outside. It's pretty moist now, and I think for the next few days. But if you have a porch and you can bring them in undercover, I would do the pruning and then let them drip outside, basically. And you want them to dry. You want those blunt cut ends to dry before you bring them in. If you, for whatever reason, need to bring them in right away, then just spread newspapers everywhere before you prune, because they make a pretty big mess. And it's sticky and it's whatever. It's a bit hard to, it'll certainly stain carpets and furniture. So just be aware of that. Otherwise, I'd be looking at in the spring, considering maybe bigger pots if you want them to get bigger, because the bigger the pot, the bigger the plant. But if you like them the size they're at, leave them in the size pot, but fertilize in the spring and do a real good proper pruning in the spring before they go out.
And when you're pruning, how far back do you go?
This time of year, you're not going to be too radical. In the spring, you can do anywhere from 30% to 40% of entire plant removal. But at this time of year, no, maybe 10%. You're just going to take tips back, always when you're pruning. Look to where you prune to a bud or to a leaf where there's going to be a hidden bud, and look where the next growth is going to come. Try and envision where the next growth is going to go so that you're pruning in, so it doesn't look like a dog's breakfast when it starts to grow back.
That's the technical term.
Yeah, exactly. The horticultural term. Yeah, I always say to people, there is a David within that marble. You just have to find it.
Yeah,
there's a beautiful, beautiful tree within that mess of a Ficus Benjamina, and you just have to find it. But for now, it's just really probably tip pruning to get it into the house.
Okay. All right. That's great.
Good stuff. Thank you.
And do you?
Thanks for calling. You don't know the mantra, Jonas, and I neglected to mention it. We have a mantra on the show. Call early, call often, one question per caller.
There you go.
So, because people do sometimes try and slip in.
I don't know very much about indoor plants, mm-hmm. but we did a little project this year to try to think about what would be the equivalent ecosystem for an indoor plant,
right?
It doesn't matter if you're on the moon, in a mall, in your house, it's going to be room temperature, it's going to be dry.
Yep.
So we did this sort of idea of like, where in the world is it room temperature and dry? And we kind of tried to figure out what plants we could bring in that would be pretty happy in a dry, you know, a lot of these indoor plants, they're really rainforest plants,
tropicals,
misted and all that. It's a lot of work. But so anyways, we started another, table at the plant market for just plants that like room temperature and dry. It turns out there's you know, the Mediterranean,
yes.
South America has.
And light levels are going to make a difference, right?
Like, so within that,
yes.
there will be low and high light
yeah.
for sure. Yeah. So you'll have to make that adjustment. But in general, I was just really interested because people are doing green walls inside.
Yeah.
They're doing, like,
yeah.
you have one behind
yeah.
you, but,
yeah.
you know, just. Yeah, so
yeah.
it's just an idea of, like, what would be the group of plants, you know, that would be best suited for, like, a space station.
Yeah, well, they're already doing...
Or your bedroom.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, space stations, it's all about lettuce and tomatoes and
yeah.
edibles,
well,
right?
Of course, yeah.
But hey, so, you know what? We are truly out of racetrack. We have mere seconds.
Well, thanks
wow.
for having me.
Well, thanks so much
fun.
For coming. You've been great. Yeah. And we, you know, buildings as cliffs. It sounds like what you have going on at the Toronto Plant Market is very educational. You've
it
got,
is, yeah.
You know, places where people can learn what plants where.
Yeah.
Optimize your gardens with the right plant in the right place. Sounds like you're really set up to help people with that.
Yeah, I appreciate you inviting me on.
It's my really pleasure. Fun. What's the address again on Baring?
327 Baring Avenue.
In?
We're open Wednesday to Friday
mm-hmm.
and Saturday and Sunday. Wednesday to Friday, 12 to 7, and Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 2.
All right. And in the meantime, Ecoman, ECOMAN.ca.
Yeah.
All the information's there.
Yeah.
Jonas Spring, thanks a bunch for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate
it. We'll get you back again sometime.
I'm in.
Until then, I'll see everybody else next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.